How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 55 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head out to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there. You can leave a review if you're feeling like it too. Find us on audioboom.com. Also, I'm on every day of the week now, Monday through Friday. I'm here to talk Thunder, and I'm here to talk FC Barcelona right now. So let's do it. Let's talk some FC Barcelona. The Thunder lost to Real Madrid on Monday. I hope you enjoyed maybe not that game, but I hope you enjoyed the Over-Under podcasts that I did with Josh Lloyd. That was Monday and Tuesday. I know we went pretty long with those, but there are 30 teams, and we only talked about them for about 2 or 3 minutes each. But that's what happens when, you know, what's 30 times 3? You got an hour and a half of talk right there, and we probably went about, maybe we went a little more than 2 or 3 minutes. Maybe we went 3 or 4, because we went about 2 hours on the East and the West, split them up into two podcasts, one on Monday, one on Tuesday, East on Monday, West on Tuesday. You can find those wherever you find Locked On Thunder, Audio Boom or NormanTranscript.com or iTunes or wherever you normally listen to it. Those podcasts are there and you can listen to those whenever you like. I realize they're a little longer than your average drive time, and I'm going to try to be more consistent on actual times for these podcasts. That's a goal of mine. I'm kind of a podcasting rookie, you know. This is my first one, so although we are 55 episodes in, so I guess I hope this is better than it was 54 episodes ago. I really hope, because if it's not, then maybe there's just no more hope for me. But I really hope it's become a more enjoyable listen, and I'm going to try to save a little bit of time. And don't worry, it's not going to be an hour and 15 minutes of just me talking to you today. I promise it won't be that insufferable. But we are going to go over the FC Barcelona game, which is coming up on Wednesday afternoon. This comes out Wednesday morning. It's coming up Wednesday afternoon, a 1:30 start time. That's Central Time. They're playing in Barcelona, as they played in Madrid on Monday, and that's going to be on NBA TV, just like Monday's game one. It's going to play live. I don't know if it's going to replay later in the evening. I assume so. NBA TV tends to replay a lot of its games. You can just check on the guide. It'll be there. They did replay the Real Madrid game. They played it especially late. I think that was on at 11:30 p.m. on Monday night. So they did replay it late, but you can TiVo the game at 1:30, or if you forget to, you can TiVo the game at 11:30. I assume people have TiVo these days. If you have a cable box and you have a television, you probably have TiVo, or you have some kind of DVR, whether it's Cox or whatever it is, and you can tape that stuff and watch it if you're so interested in preseason basketball between an NBA team and a non-NBA team. Hopefully the defense against Barcelona can be a little bit better than it was against Madrid. That was the big thing. 142 points allowed. The Thunder lost 142 to 137 on Monday. Now, that was overtime. But still, 16 points allowed in the overtime period, 126 points allowed in regulation, 92 points allowed after halftime, 76 in the second half, and those 16 more in overtime. Man, 92 points after halftime. That is so many points. That is so many points. That is a crazy amount of points. Now, granted, there's no Steven Adams in the second half. And I wrote a lot about how the Thunder looked without Steven Adams and the defensive mistakes that they made and what's correctable going into the second game, going into the regular season, what might carry over into the regular season from the flaws that we saw with their defense. And I wrote about that. That's up on normantranscript.com. You can check that out under my blog. It's called Thunder Road. You just go to the sports tab and wait for the drop-down menu, click on Thunder Road. Longtime listeners have heard me go through the spiel about, well, I guess probably 55 times now. So you can just find that there. And I've got play breakdowns and that kind of stuff there for more visual learners. I get that. I'm a visual learner. I need to see something in order to really understand it. So I try to make, I throw in GIFs into stuff like this. When I'm talking about these more complicated, you know, schematic concepts, I like to throw in GIFs and throw graphics in there so people can kind of really, they don't just have it described to them, because then the words get clunky and it's boring too when you get that stuff. And it is kind of dry material no matter what. I think it's interesting because I am just totally and completely obsessed with basketball. But you can go and you can look at those play breakdowns and kind of see, it's not too long. It's about 600 words, which is not very long. So kind of look at four different plays that the Thunder consistently struggled with during that game against Madrid and how fixable those are. I think most of them are. I really would be surprised if we saw a similar defensive performance to the one that we saw Monday. I mean, I'm not worried. A lot of those poor plays came with Adams gone in the second half. Steven Adams, of course, sprained his right ankle, the Thunder announced. And the Thunder announced officially on Tuesday that Steven Adams wouldn't be playing in the game on Wednesday. He has a sprained right ankle. He's going to be reevaluated when the team comes back to Oklahoma City. There's Cameron Payne news also, while I'm on injury news. Why not just reel him off at once? Cameron Payne is going to be out at least 6 to 8 weeks. He's going to be reevaluated by doctors in 6 to 8 weeks after sustaining that fractured fifth metatarsal in his right foot. That's the long bone on the outside of the foot. He sustained that fracture during the Blue and White game September 27th, and he is going to be out for at least 6 to 8 weeks. He's not going to undergo surgery for now, though the option is still open if there's a delay in the process, if there's setbacks, if something goes wrong with the recovery. But for now, they're hoping he doesn't have to undergo surgery during that time period, and he's going to be reevaluated in 6 to 8 weeks, and then we see from there. 6 to 8 weeks doesn't mean out 6 to 8 weeks. I mean 6 to 8 weeks till he's reevaluated. We don't know how much longer it is after the reevaluation. It could be 1 second, and it could be more time than that. So there's no point in speculating that. So we just know at least 6 to 8 weeks we're going to see the Thunder without Cameron Payne. 6 weeks is 11 games into the regular season. 8 weeks is 19 games into the regular season for the Thunder. So it's a not insignificant amount of time that Payne will be missing. Hopefully it's not that much longer than that for his sake. You hate to see a guy have to miss that much time after you know, kind of having the same injury this summer too. But as for the defense, the bigger one for the pressing matter for game number two in the preseason, which is obviously going to be an historic game, one that we're never going to forget. Although I shouldn't make jokes like that, because that Madrid game was amazing. That was an incredible game. Sergio Yule was I will never hit a buzzer beater in my entire life. And that dude hit 3 buzzer beaters in 2 hours. And I will never hit a buzzer beater in my entire life. I can absolutely guarantee that. And I never have, and I'm never going to. And he hit 3 in 2 hours, which is, I'm trying to think. I mean, maybe I've seen that. I don't know if I'd remember having seen that. But I feel like I definitely haven't seen a guy hit 3 buzzer beaters in 3 consecutive quarters, with one of them sending the game into overtime with no time left. Like I don't think, and they're all threes. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. I definitely can't remember ever seeing that. Anyway, off topic. The Thunder wrote about their defense. They had defensive issues. Let's talk about what some of those defensive issues were. First of all, I did not think Enes Kanter had his best game defensively. And, you know, Enes obviously, you know, he knows he needs to work on his defense. He gets a lot of crap for working on his defense. I'm not trying to pile on. But the difference between Kanter and Adams is obviously staggering on the defensive end. Kanter's a great offensive player, and he played really well on the offensive end. But there were a lot of times where Kanter failed to help down low, failed to hit a rotation, and that left a guy open, or gave up an open driving lane or something like that, gave up an open rolling lane. And we saw that a bunch of times, and that was really an issue. And that's something that when Adams plays, whenever that is, we know he's out Wednesday, we don't know anything more than that. But when Adams plays, you know, it's going to get better. That's something that'll fix real quickly, because that's obviously a huge upgrade. You go from Kanter to one of the best defensive centers in the league. The guy who's a great team defender, who basically defends well in every scenario as a center, playing the most important defensive position that you can play. So, you know, those are fixable Those are fixable mistakes. And the Thunder blew some other rotations too. I thought a lot of them were excusable rotations. They were clearly trying to play a pretty aggressive style. A lot of times you saw, you know, Yule go around, because Yule's the point guard for Madrid, and you saw Yule go around on, you know, a dribble handoff or something, and the Thunder would chase him with two guys, or he'd go around to pick and roll, and two guys would go after him. It was a little inconsistent. They were inconsistent. I wasn't sure if it was inconsistent because they were searching for what to do, because they were still learning it, because they were forgetting it, because they weren't communicating well. It's possible it was all of those things. Like, they weren't communicating well because it's the first game of the preseason. They've had a week of training camp. And they just flew to Spain. And that kind of puts that hinders the cohesion process as well, when you have to pick up and go to Spain, work on another, you know, work on a completely different schedule. So those mistakes happened. I don't think they're predictive of what's going to happen in the future. A lot of those fixable might be the wrong word, because fixable implies that they're just going to become perfect. And it's a progressive process. You know, it's not something that one day they're going to wake up and they'll be great at it. Next game, they'll be a little better. And I imagine they will be, because they'll be more familiar. I mean, there were times when the Thunder were playing during that game when all five guys had never played in a game with each other. They played a lineup of Oladipo, Ronnie Price, Ilyasova, Abrines, and who's the other guy that I'm thinking of? Sabonis. That's what it was. It was Sabonis. You guys knew I was going to get that, right? You knew I'd get that. Anyway, they're new to me because they're all new to everyone. They're new to everyone. Everyone, not one of those guys was on the Thunder last year. So they're all learning how to play together. And when they're playing an aggressive style, guys are going to find openings. Offensive players are going to find openings. That's going to happen. And that stuff will get better with time, because when you play an aggressive defense and when you're making aggressive decisions, the way that you recover on those all have to do with familiarity. It's instincts, it's recognition, it's communication, it's understanding what the guys next to you are going to do just based on your familiarity with them. And none of those things can exist in an initial preseason game. None of them. So I just, any of those plays where that was the issue, and I did talk about one of those in that piece that I have up on normantranscript.com, any of those plays where that was the issue, I don't think that's a real problem. It's just, it's something that happened. It was a problem Monday, but who cares that it was a problem Monday? That game didn't mean anything. Who cares? I mean, the Thunder, it's a problem that they can identify and they now know they need to work on, but it's something that it's just, it, even if they never actually work on the types of rotations they botched, they will still get better at them just by playing together more. And that's what I'm talking about. A lot of this stuff was just familiarity issues. There were some effort issues for sure. They played some preseason defense in a lot of ways. Guys not running out to close on out on guys because of whatever. Some guys just not running back on D sometimes. That happened. Again, I'm not going to knock anyone for that. Like, it's the preseason. I don't know if they're jet lagged. If you're jet lagged, that's pretty reasonable. You know, it's a preseason. You're in Spain. I think, I'll tell you what, if I were in Spain, I'd be having fun in Spain. I'd be having fun in Spain. And I don't know what the heck is going on, but I would be fine. Like going out to dinners and drinking great Spanish wine and having a great time in Spain. Going out and not playing like it's game 7 of the finals when it's the first preseason game and you're in Spain. Whatever. That's fine. I mean, I'm sure Billy Donovan doesn't love that, but I'm not going to knock anyone for that kind of stuff. You know, some of the issues were just familiarity. And there were plays where guys just didn't rotate or they didn't help or whatever it was. And, you know, Madrid got really hot too. That's another thing. They got really hot. Like Yule, those buzzer beaters, he was just draining crazy shots. They were hitting, there were a lot of open 3-point opportunities, but they hit 20 threes, 20. That's a crazy number. That's an unbelievable number of threes. The Thunder may never have another game this year when they give up 20 threes. That is so many threes. They shot over 50% and they took 30, I think they took 37. I think they were 20 for 37, which is outrageous. I don't know if the Thunder are ever going to play, well, not ever. I don't know if the Thunder are going to play another game this year in which they allowed 20 for 37 shooting. That many threes on that good of a percentage. I don't know if that's going to happen. So a lot of this stuff, I mean, look, the Thunder hardly played a perfect defensive game, but some of it can just be credited to, man, they were hot. Because they made every open opportunity, it seemed like. And when you leave a guy open, you can't complain about the shot going in. You left him open. But sometimes guys do actually miss open shots, and it didn't seem like they were missing any of those open shots. They just played an incredible offensive game. They really did. It was great. With Adams not starting, let's talk about Barcelona a little bit. To be honest, don't know a ton about their team. Excited to watch Joey Dorsey for the first time since he was a Houston Rocket. We know we're not seeing Adams against them. That's something that we know. I wonder who's going to start in his place. I mean, the intuitive answer is Enes Kanter. And you just enter Kanter into Adams' spot and you run out Westbrook and Oladipo and Robertson and Sabonis and Kanter. I wonder if the starting lineup's going to change. I wonder if because, you know, lineups are not about who's the best, and starters are not about who's the best. They're about who's going to work the best together. And I wonder if Donovan thinks that maybe somebody else works, if he's going to start Kanter, maybe Sabonis doesn't work as well next to Kanter. Maybe somebody else works better next to Kanter. Maybe he wants to start another big man. I don't know the style of Barcelona in particular. Maybe he wants to try something funky. I don't know if his logic in going with a starter or choosing a starting lineup, I don't know if it's the same way in the second game of the preseason as it would be in a game that actually counts. Like if it's the second game of the regular season this happens, I don't know if Donovan has a different process in choosing his starting lineup. I don't know if he started Sabonis because he actually thinks he's going to be their starter come opening day, or if he started Sabonis because he's hinted that he likes playing Sabonis with the starters because he thinks it's good development for him. And if that's the case, bravo. That's a great way to play it. I think that's great. But I just don't know how that really affects his decision-making once Adams isn't there. Maybe he thinks his development will be a little bit different. Maybe he wants to start. Maybe he doesn't want to start Kanter. Maybe he wants to start Sabonis at the five and give him some experience playing the five. Even if he's mainly a four, give him some experience playing the five. Keep Kanter coming off the bench and he starts like Ilyasova or something. Maybe he wants to do that. Yeah, Sabonis is defensively not quite a five, but if you're playing Kanter at the five, you're going offense first anyway. So maybe he wants to go Ilyasova Sabonis with Sabonis at the five. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how he's going to play it. I don't even really know what the right answer is because I'm not sure where your priorities should align in the preseason. I'm not sure how important gaining familiarity versus gaining individual development is in the preseason. And if those two things don't align, how you should play that. And I don't even know if those two things don't align in this scenario, but there's a lot more to think about than just that. Kanter is a five and he's Adams' backup, so Kanter's now going to start. That would be my guess as to what ends up happening. But I don't think that Donovan's thought process is going to be that simplistic. I think he's going to think about it a little bit more intelligently than that. Also, it'd be silly for me to go a full podcast and not talk about the fact that Alex Abrines is going up against his former team on Wednesday. That's a big deal. That's got to be amazing for Abrines. Like he's only played in Spain. He's played for Barcelona for 3 years. And it's got to be, for 3 years since getting drafted by the Thunder. It's just got to be amazing to him that he finally comes over to play for the Thunder. And his first game is against the team in the league that he used to play in. And his second game is against his old team. That's amazing. That's got to be. I don't know if he's going to sleep Tuesday night. He might be rolling around in bed a lot. That's because he's got to be pumped. He's got to be pumped going up against his old guys. That's got to be that's cool. That's a cool story. And Abrines shot the ball really well on Monday. If he shoots the ball well, that's a really big help. That's a really big help. I don't know if the way that he played on Monday is going to be the way he plays in the regular season from a stylistic standpoint. He just kind of stood around on the right side for the most part. And I think that's because the Thunder haven't come close to implementing their entire playbook. I think we're going to see him run off more screens, more motion, that kind of stuff. But come 1 week into training camp, they haven't implemented everything. No team has. That's not a flaw. No team has. If you've implemented everything by the first, you know, a week into the season, then you're not implementing enough. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Abrines, especially if he's shooting the ball well, playing well, add some more motion to the Thunder offense than he did on Monday. That's something that comes with time. That's another thing that comes with time and cohesion, familiarity, and all, you know, with all these new guys, including Abrines being one of those guys. And with the coaching staff, you know, gaining a greater understanding for the individual new guys' strengths and weaknesses and how they can use them to the team's benefit. You know, how they can shield the weaknesses and how they can use the strength to help the team. And that all comes with time. But he shot the ball really well on Monday, and it would be cool to see him play well against his former team, because that's just, you know, we journalists, we root for stories. We're storytellers. We root for stories. And that would be a fun story. That would be a really fun story to tell. Before we go, remember I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. You can head on to iTunes and subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. If you have any questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter @FredKatz, FREDKATZ. If you're looking to advertise or something like that, if you're a local advertiser, please shoot me an email at lockedonthunder@gmail.com, or even Twitter is fine. I respond to people in my inbox. So, you know, just find me and we will certainly talk. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs, including the defense piece I talked about. Game preview, the Barcelona game, will be up there early Wednesday morning as well. And obviously all the links to Locked On Thunder. Anything else that I might write, game coverage after the game, you can sign on for that as well. And you can check out my blog, Thunder Road. That's what I talked about before. Just the blog under the sports tab on the site. Drag over the sports tab, wait for the drop down menu, click on Thunder Road, and you're right there. And you can check out what's next for the Thunder on that part of the site. That's going to do it for today. I'm back tomorrow for a Barcelona wrap up and more Thunder and NBA talk. Until next time, Locked On Thunder is locking up.